gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Martin Luther King Day. We are working because I am the man keeping us down.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. We'll soldier on somehow
Stop
without wizard.
Judging me by the color of my skin and not the content of my character.
You're whiter than white
that's
guy.
Right. Yeah.
You're the whitest guy ever.
Exactly what I mean.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, the downtrodden voice deity.
Yes.
Jim Waterman, yeah. Stephanie Miller. We will soldier on, despite the loss of Wizard.
Excellent!
No, it's not excellent. Damn it. No,
oh,
John Huntsman, after
you.
The Sarah McLachlan ad we did for him on Friday, no?
Nope.
No.
Oh. He didn't even make it to South Carolina.
Oh, boy. All right. We shall miss ye, Wizard. Oh, and he's going to do a record time about face on Mitt Romney and how he's the... Absolutely.
The best candidate ever.
Top choice. I don't remember what I said 14 hours ago. This will make him actually officially the bigger flip-flopper in the race than Mitt Romney. Maybe that's the point of it.
Mm.
Wow, that guy has no court conviction at all. Because he just said Mitt Romney was a douche like a day ago.
I don't think he used the word douche.
Whatever the Mormon version is of that. What is the Mormon version, Jim? All right. Yeah, so lots to get to. And so there is another debate. Oh, thank God, because we haven't had enough of those.
Yeah.
The Republican debates. Polls, by the way, all over the place. Cattywampus in South Carolina. We'll get to all of that. But kids! You know who else is the man's keeping down today?
Who?
Michael Smirkanish. I'm going to be doing his show to promote Philly.
Really?
I will get your tickets fast. February 4th in Philly. And then on and on and on. On Sexy Liberal. Oh, we have an exciting announcement.
What?
That we couldn't do until after the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis, which John Fugelsang went and did in Rock the House, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me like you don't know what the big announcement is?
I know what the big announcement is. I'm playing along, you see. That's what we do in radio.
Oh, are you you acting for the Ustream?
I am acting.
Oh, it's too late. Bad as too late for the Golden Globes.
I know.
That was so good, Jim. I really thought, like, I didn't know what the announcement was. I was like, what? Why are you looking at me like that?
Where's Ricky Gervais?
Yes. My acting classes are paying off.
You're looking startled.
I know what it is.
Okay. This is very exciting. And she will be joining us tomorrow for the big... Hang on a second. This is not till May 12th?
Yes.
But I'm telling you, you better get these tickets fast. Because she has the number one TV. She has a TV show on CBS. Mm-hmm. She has a zillion Twitter followers. She's has the number one podcast in the country. Joining us for Sexy Liberal in Minneapolis, Aisha Tyler!
Woo! The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Because Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah, for sure. It's all right.
I wonder if Marcus Bachman will be there.
Oh, my God. Ask the folks in that they got to see Aisha in Santa Fe and Detroit. Aretha Franklin reported to be laughing her arse off.
Yes, indeed.
At Aisha Tyler. So we're very, very excited. And Aisha will join us tomorrow in the first hour of the show to talk about that. Because she, you know, the ratings shot way up since she joined the talk on CBS. Because she's the best thing that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Ever in the history of
everything. Yeah.
Ever. Thanks. Am I a little over? I'm so awkwardly enthusiastic about her in a totally non-gay, but just still really creepy way.
I am too. You had to tell me to tone it down in front of her.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah. Stop it.
Talking about the podcast, whatever. Jim, stop looking at her boobs. Stop
what?
It.
What?
I wasn't till now.
Wow.
watch. He just magically, somehow those half-naked pictures of Aisha come up on his screensaver.
What?
Like
how
magic, whenever we talk about
there?
What? Yeah, we got, well, here's the thing with Sexy Liberal is everybody else is wildly talented and busy.
Mm-hmm.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Aisha Tyler.
Yeah.
I have had clearly nothing else to do, being of marginal talent and basically an elderly shut-in, except for the Sexy Liberal tour.
Right.
So we have a revolving cast, whoever's available. Hal has a new Disney show, so he has a what do you call it?
A thing with a guy?
An obligation for that, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So Aisha will be filling in for him in Minneapolis, but yay for you, Minneapolis. Exciting. All right, so she'll join us tomorrow. Yay! I don't... See, we've been giving to Sexy Liberal causes, and we probably should have gotten on the John Hunt the Wizard train a lot earlier.
Excellent!
Yay! Otherwise, what the hell's going on with the polls, Chris, in South Carolina?
Well,
I can't...
It depends.
What's happening?
It depends on when you ask the question, who you ask the question to, and what the question is.
I don't want...
There's so many variables that cause this.
Jim Ward and I have a dream today.
What?
That noted racist Ron Paul wins South Carolina. So that this race gets even more cattywampus.
Oh, look.
Yeah, okay, because in this one, I don't know, which one's this? This might be online, though. This might not be reliable.
Well, if it's an online poll, you can't take it seriously at all.
It's Reuters Ipsos. Romney has a 21-point lead. Oh, come on. Don't let this be over yet. Kids, come on. In this one, open a wide lead over his rivals, Trump's and Gingrich gaining momentum in his march toward the nomination. Reuters Ipsos voter. Let's see. Here's the bad thing. In this poll, at least, they've shrugged off the Bain attack so far.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't get that. Apparently, Gingrich did what do you call it? Huckabee. They did some sort of, and he got booed when he said something about Romney. And it's like, what? What? The one guy speaking the truth.
He did Huckabee's show on Fox News.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, but there was whatever.
Okay.
They weren't supposed. It was the ground rules where they weren't supposed to say anything about each other. They're supposed to be nice.
Sure, well, that'll be a
people are like, oh, that's
show.
Rude to mention a vulture capitalism. That's just rude.
If I can't say anything nice, I don't say anything at all, frankly.
So in this poll, Romney is at 37%. Ron Paul and Santorum, Rick Santorum in number two again,
bringing up the rear.
Mm-hmm. Tied for second place with 16%. Gingrich falling far back. He was in fourth place at 12%. You know, in that one, of course, they're spinning that Romney's winning the feud with Gingrich. However, let's see, two new polls. The headline is Paul surges in South Carolina, Santorum slumps. You're right, Jim, the Santorum bubble has burst, and that is...
clean up.
Yeah, that's not a pretty clean up for anybody. I don't know. This one says Texas Representative Ron Paul has broken through in South Carolina, according to two new polls released Friday. Show a dramatic increase.
Much of the African American vote.
Yeah, I don't see Ron Paul winning South Carolina. Not with that.
Can you please support my dream for just half of the first segment on the first hour on Martin Luther King Day?
It's Martin Luther King Day.
Come on. let's see. This is that showed a dramatic increase in his support just 8 days before the primary. It's on Saturday, by the by.
Mm-hmm.
The South Carolina primary. So this one, Romney at 29, Gingrich at 25. So that's the one, like we were saying Friday, was much closer. Santorum in fifth at 7%. Oh, how frothy. He's even behind Rick Perry. Oh, no. That's how you know you're doing bad. Little Dumber Boy was at 9.
You know what, though? That may change because a huge coalition of evangelical preachers just endorsed Rick Santorum yesterday.
They're behind him. Yes, they are.
Yes.
So, yes, they're backing him.
So that may...
Tony Perkins right up behind him.
Yeah. That may have some weight with the conservative voters in South Carolina. So we'll have to see how that changes things.
Yeah. Santorum, though, this is the aforementioned Santorum bubble bursting that Jim has warned us about before. Wear a hazmat suit. He experienced a sharp 17-point decline.
Ow.
From the group's previous poll. A different poll. This one, Rasmussen, also indicated an uptick in support for Paul in South Carolina. So that's two polls showing him tied for
two
third place with Santorum at 16%.
Two polls popping Santorum.
Yes. Rasmussen has Romney at 28, Gingrich at 21. So I was looking at all these headlines and I was like, what the hell is going on exactly?
That's exactly what's coming out of South Carolina. Wait.
You people, come on. Well, there was a story. It's just, It's the same story over and over, but it continues to be so irritating. Is I think it was in the LA Times, but a piece about how, you know, they're watching Santorum, and of course he's talking about cutting government and cutting expenses, and they're like, you know, there's a woman there going, yeah, that's my guy. He's my guy now. Right. That's my guy. And they go to profile this woman. She lives on disability.
Yeah.
Her husband's been out of work for 4 years. Her mother's on Medicare.
Right.
She's, you know, I mean, literally.
Stop that wasteful spending!
They've been talked into voting against their best interests.
Yeah,
exactly. No, we're not talking about us. We're talking about those people. You know what I'm talking about.
They just picked one voter, and she survives based on government. I mean, there's a big story in the LA Times about Bain. Guess what Bain Capital survived on? Government subsidies.
Money.
Uh-huh. Oh, I mean, some of these companies, they got government subsidies on top of raping and pillaging and sacking these companies. And I mean, it's just... And there he is talking about small government.
Right.
Which, meanwhile, the government, the president did a really smart political thing Friday. Speaking of smaller government, we'll talk about...
Oh, yeah.
Snap.
We'll talk about that. Much more to go. We're off to a rollicking Martin Luther King Day.
We are.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Child is black, the child is white, the whole world looks upon a sight, a beautiful sight.
See what he did there?
See what he did there?
See.
Yeah.
You see
it is
okay.
Yeah. Stephanie Miller Show, welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour, the rude pundit, his rudeness coming up after the bottom of the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World next hour. We don't take no stinking days off.
Nope.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, so it is South Carolina primary week. Saturday is the primary in South Carolina. Mitt Romney, of course, still trying to, you know, he's trying to be a man of the people.
Sure.
You know how he is.
Yeah.
He's a regular guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't born rich.
My dad told me when I was young, we were Mormon millionaires.
We are all Mormon millionaires, my friend.
Anderson, can I talk?
He told me not to run for president.
He told me not to run for president.
Till so I was a billionaire.
Who left the dog on the roof?
Woof, woof. There's nothing wrong with being 1%.
Read the Wall Street Journal now.
I like the crosswords, my friend.
Just buy some companies and fire away.
Corporations eat people, my friend.
I
could be digging the ditch because I know life's a bitch, but that's not what happened. I was born this rich. There ain't no way to regret how I keep winning the bet. I'm in the downsizing business. I was born this rich. Oh, I'm sure there is some pain, maybe more, but that's just pain. Maybe I was born this rich.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Born this rich. Yes, we'll lay off here and there, but I've got near perfect hair. Maybe I was born this rich.
Mike and Raleigh.
Whoa, Mike and Raleigh.
Rocking it on a Monday. Ah, hilarious. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be immune to the whole hypocrisy thing, don't they? They're just...
Seems like it, yeah.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Yeah, I'm not sure what his response to this is, other than to get flustered and ask for Anderson Cooper's help. You've seen it. Somebody was playing a bunch of clips. Just what a weenie he is when he gets flustered. Just, Anderson! It's my time! It's my time! It's my time! I'm speaking! Anderson!
They're not supposed to ask me questions.
He also whined to Brett Baer, of all people.
Well, this is an unusual interview in which I'm asked some sort of questions which
I'm supposed to answer.
Might indicate some sort of shift in positions over the year. What?
It was. I was told that this was supposed to be a softball interview.
I was told that they wouldn't ask me about flip-flopping.
He just always has that look of someone brought him the wrong foie gras at the country club. Just what? Well, this is very... this is unfortunate.
Or someone brought him the check.
What?
I have people for that.
Yes. Now I'll have to break your finger.
That story we did last week.
Yeah, you see, it's a callback.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, our friend Ari Berman on The Nation, the headline, Romney's crony capitalism feigns big government subsidies. At a recent debate, Romney said that the government, by and large, gets in the way of creating jobs. But a closer look at Biden's record under Romney reveals the company relied on the very government subsidies that Romney and Tea Party conservatives routinely denounce as crony capitalism.
Anderson, they weren't supposed to mention that.
What?
Help me, Anderson. You're my only hope.
I think he just thinks Anderson Cooper controls everything, well, even if it's on another network.
He kind of does.
Anderson. The Los Angeles Times ran a big story about Bain's investment in Steel Dynamics, which received $37 million in subsidies and grants to build a new plant in DeKalb County,
Quiet.
Indiana. An analyst at the Cato Institute called it corporate welfare. Romney has recently pointed to Steel Dynamics as one of his success stories at Bain, including in a new ad, which contributed to the 100,000 net jobs, you know, that he's claimed to create at the firm. Which, thank you very much, Sarah Palin. Would like a little proof of that also due in addition, I think.
by net, I mean imaginary.
The first time I knew exactly what Sarah Palin was saying.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. Yes, there should be some proof when you throw a number out.
You go, girl.
Wow, way too many words still, but yes, yeah. We got the gist.
It's like she got through the play without the set falling on
right?
her.
Right? Yes, as Ari says, an incorrect figure he's had to subsequently walk back. He never mentions that government subsidies played a major role in ensuring that success.
Quiet. Don't talk about that. And don't ask the dog anything.
Woof, woof.
I'm just thinking, this is not of any sort of interest in South Carolina. Romney's Bain made millions, a South Carolina steelmaker went bankrupt.
So, what's your point?
That seemed to be a little apropos in that he's in South Carolina this week. That's where the primary's
stuff happens. Don't look at me.
Yeah, Bain more than doubled its money on GS Industries, the former parent company of Georgetown Steel under Mitt Romney's leadership in the 90s, even as the steel manufacturer went on to cut more than 1,750 jobs, shutter a division that had been around for 100 years and eventually sank into bankruptcy.
Workers aren't people, my friends.
Yeah, there he was, talking about jobs.
I want to get jobs for Americans.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm concerned about our poor in this country.
Uh-huh.
Since when? Good God.
Seriously.
I'm concerned that they exist and make me look bad.
Do you think we should just not worry about the election in the sense that he is so incredibly irritating?
And inauthentic.
That already, we're not even through the primary. Just his voice, you're like, oh, you phony bastard. Oh, God. Rude Pundit writes about this.
Yeah.
That it's just, he said, oh, for the love of, do we have to go through the next 17 months before Barack Obama beats Mitt Romney? Or can we just...
My plastic water bottle thinks I'm inauthentic.
Oh, Mittens. Oh, boy. Is this him trying to get the evangelical vote?
Yeah. Good luck with that, Mitt.
I happen to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my Savior.
You also happen to believe that Jesus Christ appeared to the Indians in North America, which evangelicals think is kind of cultish.
Unfortunately, Tony Perkins and his friends think that, you know...
No, Mother
you
Blood!
And, you and Anne are not.
She's not a Christian!
No. The God warriors beg to differ.
Yeah. Says no.
Wow.
Wow, he's awfully white to be dark-sided.
Oh, my God, I love Tony Perkins, actually.
Dark-sided team!
She is dark-sided, too! Hey,
she's talking about Anne.
Yes,
she's
dark. Born to a white father and an even whiter mother.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. Actually, Tony Perkins said something like, yeah, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Mitt because someone said, you know, he's not a Christian.
She is dark-sided, too!
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
She's not a Christian!
Yeah, that's like out in the first round.
Well,
American Idol. Just, oh, Mormon. No. No.
My hair is dark-sided.
With shades of gray. We can't have that.
A splintered conservative vote in South Carolina could pave the way for Mitt Romney to win this week's primary, some rivals said on Sunday, acknowledging an outcome that prominent state lawmakers suggest could end the nomination fight. Newt Gingrich said, I think the only way a Massachusetts moderate can get through South Carolina is if the vote is split. Yes, and polls obviously showing, he's leading in all the polls, but in some, I don't know, narrowly in others.
Yeah.
We'll see what his rudeness thinks. 29 minutes after the hour, not only am I keeping me down, I'm keeping Rude Pundit down today.
That's right.
Making him work.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to him next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
sympathize with y'all. Donna makes me listen to
Stephanie Miller
on XM Radio 19 hours a day. I tried to kill myself by swallowing a nail clipper, but I passed it.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday. You know what Monday means. Leap, yeah.
Sleep off of the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
To you as well, my friend. So you have my favorite phrase about the Republican primary, the forced march to mitdom. That's what it has all the joy of a forced march to mitdom, doesn't it?
It really does. It's sort of like it's just that dutiful lining up, like, all right, let's go ahead and do this. It's like waiting in line before you go into a concert that you got dragged to.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember once when I had a girlfriend take me to a Lionel Richie concert. This feels like waiting outside to get into that.
It's so like
you weren't
air
dancing
supply?
On the ceiling. Then,
huh? Yeah. Air supply, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear. All right. I better get laid after this.
You compare it to, of course, Soviet citizens waiting in line for bread back in the day. Just bread. It's all the joy of a bread line.
Yeah, yeah. And with enforcers there, making sure that you stay in line and don't try to get out and do something like, I don't know, assert your right to have rights and vote for somebody other than it.
It's the Ogden Death March.
Yeah, exactly. You talk about the, you know, how the media, because obviously, as you said, they had to make a story. So you've said this from day one on our show. It's just, it's Mitt. It was always going to be Mitt. Mitt, it's about money, is what you point out. It's not, you know, in the media, all of these ridiculous frontrunners, they had to pretend for a minute that Donald Trump might be president. No, it might be Herman Cain, you know.
Right.
No Blitz.
No Blitz. It was never going to be Herman Cain.
No Blitz.
And remember Rick Perry? That's my favorite now at this point. Because when Rick Perry came out, I said something on, I don't know, Twitter, Facebook, who the hell knows which one you write on anymore.
Yes.
And I said something about, you know, I can't wait for the Rick Perry fad to end. And people were just, you know, sending me all these links about, oh, no, here's somebody that says Rick Perry will be the next president now. No. He's not.
Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, Michelle Bachmann won Iowa. People were, you know, but it just, my favorite, speaking of Sarah Palin, when we were talking about earlier, you said on Fox News, Megyn Kelly could barely contain her contempt at having to interview the horrible Sarah Palin puppet that keeps appearing despite the fact that it's now threadbare with one of its button eyes dangling. But I mean, and we were saying the fact that only she seemed to actually make sense this last cycle when she said Mitt Romney should prove the $100,000 jobs number. You're like, what is going on?
Right. What is Newt her man? Oh, that God, that's unpleasant in so many ways.
Well, because that's what Tad said.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Todd endorsed Mitt, and he touted that.
No, Newt.
You know, hey, look, the snowmobile operator just endorsed me.
Yeah, the snow machine secessionist.
Yes.
Yeah. You're right. What Rupont wants to talk about is the breathtaking ishness of Mitt Romney, because you were talking about his speech after New Hampshire, right?
Oh, he was such a jerk. It was just so arrogant, and you know, if it had been a Democrat making that speech, he would have been torn apart for how arrogant and uppity he was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and plus, it's like it makes no sense. The whole he's trying to make us like Europe. He's trying to make us. It's like what are you even talking about?
What part of Europe? Because there's some highly successful and economically free parts of Europe that, you know, have high taxes and have socialized medicine.
Germany. I live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Denmark, works. Which is, you know, again, the Heritage Foundation ranks higher than us in economic freedom.
Yep.
And, you know, they're the most conservative of the wild and crazy Scandinavian states, but they are a fairly socialist nation.
Right. I love that you closed that post by saying, here's the question someone needs to ask repeatedly of Romney. If you had been elected in 2008, what would you have done to clear the wreckage left behind by George W. Bush? You know, and it's a good question. A, he was against the auto bailout, so bye-bye to all those jobs and that whole American industry, right?
Right, and... And he was against the bank bailout, he was against so many of the policies that Obama tried in an almost FDR kind of way to get the economy going, against a ton of Republican opposition and Ben Nelson's opposition, what would you do? Here's the economy that George W. Bush left. What would you do?
Yeah, you want Speed to ask him, what would you do? What do you do?
Right.
This is what you're left with.
You've got an economy that's going off a cliff. What do you do? What do you do?
That's Dennis Hopper, by
Dennis
the way.
Dennis Hopper,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
My mind was struggling a little bit. Thank you. It's Monday. I guess what you write about is primarily, and you hear this, you see this in article after article, that he just has so much money that it's not going to matter. But I got to say, we were talking about, even today, though, the polls all over the place in South Carolina.
Right, although but nationally, I mean, a Fox News poll, I think, just came out today that said he's at 40%, and the next closest is, I don't know if it was Paul or Gingrich, was at 17%. So, he hasn't been able to bring everybody together in the way that McCain was able to so quickly, but this is still, there was a recent, and I wish I can't remember the source for this, a recent survey said that 94% of the time, the candidate with the most money wins, and that's across the board on elections. So,
well, this is the first, election that Citizens United hath wrought, and we've seen already, right? The primaries, and that's the thing is, they're saying President Obama's already obviously outraising people. But the other thing I think that's really important, this is what we said the minute Citizens United happened, is the problem is conservatives have way more money. They're going to, seven of the top 10, I think, givers are conservatives, these PACs.
Right, and then you're going to have this full force corporate assault on Obama when it comes down to the general election, and it's going to be so overwhelming. We have McCain now out there saying that the Citizens United was a terrible decision, which forced that overturned the McCain-Feingold campaign law. But also you had John Sununu, the surrogate for Romney, in New Hampshire saying none of the candidates like this.
Yeah.
But it's legal, and if somebody's going to do it, if it is legal, then why wouldn't we do it?
Yeah. By the way, Rude, I misspoke. 17 of the top 20 biggest political donors this election cycle are conservative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how people don't realize that the deck is just so loaded here.
Yeah, and we get updates all the time on what the candidates have brought in. Like Obama, I think, has a $130 million war chest now already. But that number pales in comparison to the amounts of money that can be spent anonymously on behalf of the candidates,
right,
without, of course, the coordination with the candidate, air quotes going around that.
Mm-hmm. Rude, what is your best guess, though, on what's going to happen in South Carolina? Because some of these polls have it pretty close, actually, between him and Gingrich, even, and Paul.
And you know what? This is going to sound weird, but don't discount Stephen Colbert.
You know what?
You're right.
What Stephen Colbert is doing is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Pointing out just how wrong this whole system is.
The PACs, yeah.
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 And in South Carolina, Democrats can vote in that primary.
Mm-hmm.
So if Democrats really wanted to screw with the entire nominating process of the Republican Party, they should go out there in large numbers and make Stephen Colbert the number. He's already – one of the reasons I think John Huntsman dropped out is Colbert was polling better than him.
Oh, God. That's going to be the punchline in an already a joke of a Republican primary.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert wins South Carolina.
So
I think it's time for Goldwater Miller to get back in.
he's already in fourth place, Colbert.
Yeah.
Wow.
His home state, so he has that advantage as well.
Right. And did you see, by the way, the ad that he's actually running against Mitt Romney?
We can play it after the break, Steph.
It's It's freaking brilliant.
It is.
It is as savage an ad as anybody has put out. Even it does more to rip up Mitt Romney than Newt Gingrich's 30-minute attack ad or attack.
Yeah.
Film, which,
well,
by the way,
because it uses humor, which is of course the best weapon ever, right?
Right, right. And by the way, did you see the Newt Gingrich movie, the 30-minute movie?
I saw clips. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Oh, that when it ends with him speaking French, which he does in another ad also, comparing Romney to Kerry and ending it by saying, and he speaks French.
Yeah, which is, you know, this close to gay, as we all know, which is...
Right. And it's gay and educated. How
so yikes.
You know, there was a time in this country where we'd be proud to have a president that spoke multiple languages.
But now that's a nuance, which is both French and gay, as we know.
Yes, and if he spoke Spanish, that would pretty much make him an illegal immigrant.
And Huntsman, the other guy who spoke a different language, he's out now.
He's gone. Well,
probably because he spoke another language.
Yeah.
What's the media going to have to talk about on primary night, you know, if they can't talk about how great Huntsman is doing, despite, you know, it just being close family members voting for him?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we can always hope. There's a whole week. There's so many. There's time for people to say so many stupid things. Yeah. Rick Perry alone.
There is. We need the Rick Perry restoration. We got to keep him going. I'm actually most looking forward to, at this point, the Virginia primary.
Oh.
Because it's only going to be Ron Paul and Mitt Romney.
Wow.
Because of the judge's decision saying that the other candidates appealing to get on the ballot, no, they can't. They didn't follow the rules. So then we'll really see, okay, Paul followers, how much juice do you actually have?
Yep. Hmm. Looking forward to it. All right, your rudeness. Thanks for working on Martin Luther King Day.
Hey, you know what? I have a dream of going back to bed.
All right, why don't you do that now, sleepyhead? All right, go back to bed with your little bedhead. He does. He always has that scruffy little JBF hair. 45. Look on my website. 45 minutes after the hour.
Scruffy little what?
Could you just shine a spotlight on
Jolly big fella.
Uh-huh. Okay.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
There you go. Good analogy.
I say here
refunded
it comes
being
up there.
Forced by an old girlfriend to go to Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
That's what the forced march to Mittdom is like for the Republicans. All right. Mitt, whatever. 51 minutes after the hour. Although, you know, I understand now staying with the tried and true, Chris, because I said earlier I tried to be experimental and try something new.
Yeah.
And
no.
Here, Ustream, look at what I bought.
You
I bought
never
this
do that.
Fruit.
It's got spikes on it. Never have fruit with spikes.
I don't even know what it is. I just thought, you know, you try to get new year, I'm going to eat healthier, I can eat more fruit and vegetables. It's a koala melon something. It's disgusting.
A koala melon?
It's not even sweet. It's like a jellyfish with seeds.
Spikes
I
are,
just think I'm the best.
Spikes are nature's way of saying, don't eat this.
Yes.
It looks like a cat toy. It's, I don't know what it is.
Well, it looks like a yellow pomegranate because it has the seeds covered with gook.
It's gross. Don't try new things.
Ew.
It's disgusting. And I think Jim may be right. When he looked at it this morning, he said it might turn me into a Taiwanese
ladyboy.
Thailand. Not Taiwan.
Oh, a Thailand ladyboy.
Yeah. You never know.
Just from that one bite, I might have grown something on tour.
You haven't seen Hangover 2, have you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Just saying.
All right. We were talking, Rude brought up Stephen Colbert's brilliant ad.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm telling you, this would be the final punchline to this joke of a Republican primary that Stephen Colbert wins South Carolina. He read, this is his ad against Romney, which...
Well, it's not his ad.
No,
it's his
PAC.
It's the super PAC.
Sure, mm-hmm. He has nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Because he gave it over to John Stewart.
Absolutely.
Wow.
He's doing it all legal. This is all legal.
It's the most elaborate performance art ever.
Because he's brilliant and fearless.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I can still never forget him at the White House correspondence thing and the look on George Bush's face.
Yeah.
All right, here it is.
Corporations, America's greatest institution, They built this country one job at a time. Mitt Romney says he's for corporations.
Corporations are people, my friend.
But Mitt Romney has a secret. As head of Bain Capital, he bought companies, carved them up, and got rid of what he couldn't use. If Mitt Romney really believes...
corporations are people, my friend.
Then Mitt Romney is a serial killer. He's Mitt the Ripper. If you believe corporations are people, do your duty and protect them. On Saturday, January 21st, stop Mitt the Ripper before he kills again. Americans for a Better Tomorrow Tomorrow are responsible for the content of shows, this advertisement.
It shows him sitting on a wood chipper, pushing corporations through the wood chipper.
And that was voiced
Thank
by...
Thank you, Citizens United.
Dr. Emilio Lizardo.
Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Patrice.
Good morning, guys. That was a funny ad. I saw that over the weekend. That was brilliant.
Yep.
What I was telling my sister and my brothers the other day was the perfect model for what's going to happen in the general election was what happened in the 2010 gubernatorial election here in California.
Yep.
You saw all the money that Meg Whitman had. She was pretty much like Romney.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had Jerry Brown, who was the underdog. And look how her campaign was ruined, you know, by, you know, her corporate ways and shipping jobs overseas and things like that. And she thought it wasn't going to hurt her, and it hurt her pretty bad.
Patrice, you remember I broke my foot last year when I moved back to California from New York. I tripped over a big bag of cash that Meg Whitman left on my doorstep. And I still didn't. It's like Linda McMahon in Connecticut. You know, she had so much money, and people were just irritated by her ads.
And see, here's the thing, too. Obama's going to probably raise just as much money as Romney does, but here's the thing, here's the advantage that Obama has. Look at the flip-flops, you know, all the footage of the flip-flops that Romney has done over the years. Bain Capital, not releasing his tax forms. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. There's so much that he can work with. Also, a do-nothing Republican Congress. You know, and then also he's proposing, you know, for smaller government, which I think is a very brilliant move. And we'll see where the Republicans stand on that. You know, they say we're against big government. Now you got a Democratic president presenting that. And let's see if they go against that as well.
Yeah. Well, Patrice, I was saying the other day, the Republican Party, I think it's that look on George Clooney's face in the Perfect Storm right when he knows he's completely... You know what I mean? It's the Occupy, We Are the 99% movement. Central Casting couldn't send you a better character to run against than Mitt Romney, right?
Exactly. But Obama's going to beat Romney, and I think it's going to be by a pretty substantial margin.
Well, and Patrice, even in the money, you're right, Obama's money's always come from us, the 99%, small donation, lots of, you know, and you're right, but Romney's going to have all this corporate money, all these, you know, one percenters, and I think you're right, it's still not going to matter.
Right.
Yep. All right.
Gingrich and Perry have already done Obama's work for him.
Yeah.
With vulture capitalism
You know, I don't know what's going to happen in South Carolina, but one of the things I was hearing is people are saying, you know, Bain is not the right issue in a Republican primary in South Carolina. They should be hammering him more on the stuff that social conservatives care about that he's also been horrible on. You know, it's like Dave in Minneapolis on Romney as well. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mama. That clip you played right before Rotunda was just unbelievable, where he goes, oh, and by the way, I care about poor people.
It was an
afterthought. I mean, it was like, this guy is so practiced in everything he's saying, there's nothing organic or natural that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
It's all about what I'm supposed to say, but that thing, oh, and by the way, I care about poor people.
Is there one person that believes that in this country? Yeah. Is there one person that listens to that go, oh, he sounds so real and compassionate? And I'm sure he does.
To him, poor people get in the way.
They do get in the way. They do get in the way because they get in the way because they interrupt all the other stuff he's been saying. But, of course, why should, you know, being contradictory bother Romney? It shouldn't bother him at all.
Yeah. Let's listen to that smarmy inauthenticity again, shall we?
I want to get jobs for Americans. Mm. And by the way, I'm concerned about our poor in this country.
Mm. FYI, GTK.
I love poor people. Mm-hmm. They're delicious in the bechamel sauce.
Mm. That really was almost like he was using like a texting. But FYI. I'm really GTK. I really am. Seriously.
LOL.
LOL. So concerned about the poor. Okay. Yeah, that was unfortunate that he just didn't realize he put a, by the way, in
by
there.
The way.
BGW.
Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah. This is where mm-hmm. I'm told I should say something about the poor. By the way, I really am concerned about the hobos. Okay. Wow, there's a lot of vagrants in here. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Up next, kids, Philadelphia, February 4th. Tickets going fast. Get it. Phoenix, February 25th, already sold out. Sorry.
Yep.
Chicago is going very, very fast. We broke the record Friday for the top-selling comedy show of all time at the Chicago Theater. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The tickets really going quickly there for March 3rd. Albuquerque going very quickly as well, March 31st. Madison in April already sold out. Sorry. And then we just announced this morning, Minneapolis, Aisha Tyler is joining us for Minneapolis. Hal has another commitment for his Disney show, but Aisha will be in tomorrow to promote that.
She'll be here in studio.
I know. Yay! Right. Oh, my God. She rejoins the magic of Sexy Liberal. And then on and on. The shows were listed all the way through, for God's sakes, September.
Mm-hmm.
So get your tickets fast. Okay. Happy Martin Luther King Day. It's a regular Monday, you know. You know what that means. Mm-hmm. Our good friend is here. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Eric Bollard, just your tweets about Dana Loesch, sure enough. To read your Twitter feed. It's and Chris, you just got in a fight with Dana Loesch as well.
Over the weekend, she got really, really screechy and emotional in her responses, and I just kept it on the level.
That's because she knows that this is too much, even for Rush Limbaugh, right, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, his first reaction was something like, this went too far, or something like that. And then the next day he sort of circled back and started attacking people for finding fault with it. But Rick Perry yesterday said, this was bad, they shouldn't have done it.
Yep.
And he also found a way to attack the Obama administration. But the idea that, Dana Loesch, I mean, she's so far out in no man's land. And this is sort of classic Andrew Breitbart pathology. I mean, she's an Andrew Breitbart creation. Instead of, apologizing or trying to explain what you say or anything remotely intelligent or common sense, it's straight to the screech and it's straight to the attack. They have now posted like 85, blog posts about Media Matters. Reference, as if we made her say she wanted to drop trial and urinate on dead corpses.
Yeah. Well, you are a good provocateur, I must say. You wrote note to Breitbart and Breitbart bloggers, if you haven't yet posted incoherent defense of Dana Loesch and her on corpse comments, please do so now.
Yeah.
And then you write, same question from this morning. If Dana Loesch is so proud of her drop-town Marine comments, why does she go on CNN and repeat them? And then your next post is, can't believe our luck. The entire Andrew Breitbart team on Twitter now defending Dana Loesch's whacked out drop-town comments.
That's what they do. That's what they do. They just sort of lash out and yell and scream and stomp their feet. And everyone else sort of looks at it like, what are they doing? It was interesting. We wrote about a week or two ago, there's this new money effort in D.C. to start this new conservative website. They want to match Center for American Progress. Mm-hmm. They want to match what Media Matters does and what Talking Points Memo and others have done, because they don't have anything on the right-wing blogosphere that anyone takes seriously. And all you have to do is watch Dana Loesch and her friends over the weekend in Breitbart, and you see why nobody takes them seriously.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of fascinating to watch. And I can't even tell you. I mean, if you, you talk about a Twitter feed, you should see the stuff I was getting over the weekend. Yeah. Like you were saying, you know, I kept it pretty straightforward. You know, I just wanted to keep digging this hole. And the tweets people were sending about, you know, urinating and gay sex.
Yeah, I got the same things.
What I do at night. And it is disgusting what they talk about.
You know,
but this is what they do when they're cornered and their lack of common sense and intelligence is on display for everyone to see.
Eric, you know, I think this goes to the larger point that you always make so well, though. You know, it's not the places you expect it, like right-wing radio and Fox News. But the fact that CNN has her as a contributor, you know, the likes of her and Eric Erickson, I think it's this blatant suck-up to this Tea Party crowd where they kind of excuse this stuff, you know?
And the Tea Party now is a complete joke. I mean, look what happened to their candidates in New Hampshire, which is supposed to be a Tea Party stronghold. I mean, as a political movement, it's a joke. It's interesting that there's a conservative think tank, the Illinois Policy Institute. They had invited Dana for a weekend event. Mm-hmm. They disinvited her over the weekend because of this. CNN did not want to distance itself. So you have a conservative think tank saying, we don't want to be associated with you. And then we have CNN saying, oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah, well, you know, Eric, you've talked about this before, but it really is irritating that, you know, Eric Erickson's the Dana Loesch's of the world. I mean, CNN, a lot of CNN journalists, of course, were saying this is really embarrassing. I mean, they're associated with, and I can't, I'm racking my brain, but do they have a liberal commentator? I mean... You know,
not the equivalent. I mean, they have liberals. They have people of stature and importance. Paul Begala, John Brazil, people who have run national campaigns, people who have counseled sitting presidents. Dana has a radio show that nobody listens to in the 22nd largest market in the country.
Yeah.
That is her claim to fame. She was supposed to be sort of this Tea Party founder. She has divorced herself from the Tea Party because she realizes it's, credentials to talk about national politics.
Right. My point, Eric, is that for balance, I think CNN should hire some, you know, wildly inappropriate and off the rails liberal.
Stephanie Miller. They don't exist. There is no liberal Rush Limbaugh. There is no liberal Glenn Beck.
I could fill that void.
And thank God.
Yeah.
No liberal equivalent to these.
We have more intellectual thought on our side, you know?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. It's just called the Dana Radio Show, because obviously it's so big.
It's the Dana Show, actually.
Oh, the Dana Show, because everyone knows it, because it's so big, because it's on two stations?
Or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Can someone explain to me if there's supposed to be a scandal that someone pees on the corpse of a Taliban fighter? Someone who is part of an organization murdered over 3,000 Americans? I'd drop trial and do it, too. That's me, though. I want a million cool points for these guys. Is that harsh to say? Come on, people. This is a war.
Cool.
What do you think this is?
That's soothing.
And what's interesting is, A, their now defense is, the left wing was going crazy denouncing the military. I didn't really see that, but I did see former Marines. I did see virtually every major leader at the Pentagon in the U.S. military denounce it.
Yep. You mean crazy liberals like John McCain?
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, their defense is to create, you know, concoct this scenario where, you know, liberal commentators were denouncing the military and the Marines. No, that's not what happened. The people that came out most forcefully and aggressively in the beginning were the brass at the Pentagon and former members of the military. That's who apparently, you know, Dana is picking her fight with.
Yeah, because they have this crazy liberal idea, Eric, that it might put other U.S. troops in harm, you see.
And they have this crazy liberal idea that discipline is good in terms of trying to maintain a fighting force.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Are we to presume that Barack Hussein Obama will enjoy firing those four soldiers captured in the worse than Abu Ghraib video? You heard about this, right? There's a video, nobody knows how old it is, of some U.S. Marines urinating on the bodies of Taliban combatants in Afghanistan. Just peed on them. And, of course, it's Marines. It violated the rules. There's no defense of this. The overreaction of this is nuts.
At least you said there's no defense of this.
Yeah,
I guess.
Wow.
But
that's having it both ways.
Yeah.
Right, and again, what they're trying to do in the sort of the second or third day story was Obama hates the military, Obama hates Marines, et cetera, et cetera. Look, this was... again, as Limbaugh said, there's no defense for this, and that's what most people who understand how the military works said initially. It's only the right-wing nutjobs that made this into a story by talking about how they, you know, how Dana wanted to drop trial and do it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, you know, Jim Ward was saying last week about this is a typical example of Obama derangement syndrome. You know, it's not that bad what they did, but it's the president's Abu Ghraib. Yeah. Like, which is
it? It's not a big deal, but it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah. And let's not forget Abu Ghraib. When that first happened, Rush Limbaugh, do you remember his reaction? It was a while ago, but he talked about how they were just letting off steam and it looked like outtakes from a Madonna video, and he went on with this bizarre sexual innuendo. I think he learned his lesson from the Abu Ghraib fiasco, and he came out and said there's no defense for this.
Mm. Have I mentioned his name is Barack Hussein Obama?
That makes my right eye twitch when he does that.
Yeah.
Every time. Okay, John Stossel on Cavuto, how young people, I'm guessing the idiots that voted for Barack Obama, they just shouldn't vote at all. Yeah. Yeah.
This endless cheerleading, let's go to the rock concerts and register the kids, and the kids are not paying attention, and it's important in a democracy. It's important to vote, and these are important issues. Mm. The people who participate ought to be the ones who pay attention. I'm just saying we shouldn't have these get-out-the-vote campaigns and make these statements. Why everyone has to vote. It's your patriotic duty. Well, if you're not paying attention, I think it's your patriotic duty not to vote.
Well, by not paying attention, many people who disagree with me. Just don't vote.
And by the way, I think as you guys have pointed out, Eric, according to 7 separate polls, Fox News viewers, whose average age is in the mid-60s, appear the most perpetually misinformed.
Yeah.
So
well,
maybe he was...
Yeah, the problem is they pay a little too close attention to Fox News, and by paying such close attention to Fox News, they're chronically misinformed and don't understand current events. But wait, conservatives want to keep down voter turnout? I'm shocked.
Shocked, I tell you. Gambling with democracy? Shocked, I tell you. All right, Eric Boulder remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Eric Bollert from Media Matters rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Liz Trotta on the Fox News on that poor, poor Pat Buchanan.
Of course he's being victimized. He's been mercilessly assailed by the homosexual lobby, by very left-wing, hard left people who were charging him, groups who say he's a racist.
Oh, dear.
MSNBC has become close to being a communist channel. I mean, this is just outrageous. Little by little by little, they have moved all the talent that they support so far left.
What, who, like Joe Scarborough?
Mm.
Yeah, I keep looking for that Fox show hosted by a former Democratic congressman. I can never find it.
It's weird.
On the schedule.
Yeah.
When is it wrong to hate blacks and Jews? Why?
Yeah, I mean, Pat Buchanan, of course, you know, is a victim of Pat Buchanan.
Yeah.
And all the stuff he says and writes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the return of the homosexual lobby, I mean, this is very 1972 view of the world.
Yeah,
obviously they're going to attack MSNBC. It's their competition, but you know, calling it a communist channel and et cetera, you know, I think it kind of shows how spooked they are that a conservative might not be given a national platform. How dare? First Amendment equals all conservatives must have a national platform.
Yeah. I also hear that Rachel Maddow might be a lesbian.
Yeah, no, that's what they mean by the homosexual lobby. Yeah. It's that tricky Rachel Maddow. Cold-cocked him in the lobby of NBC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he writes, what was the editorial he wrote about, you know, black people should thank us for the nice boat ride to America. And then he's like, what? What's
wrong
with it? What did I say?
What?
Yeah. All right. Larry O'Connor, Breitbart editor?
Yes, on Fox Business Channel. Yeah.
The imagery of this Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's got that, you know, possum caught in the headlights kind of look. She's about as appealing as Nancy Grace, with all due respect to Nancy Grace. And I don't think she's the image that the DNC really wants to put out there at this point, but they're stuck with her.
What? Wow. Sexist much? Nasty much?
Sexist much.
Wow.
Yeah, and what was it? Greg Gutfeld on Fox.
Oh, we have that coming up next.
Brazilla. Right. So I love Andrew Breitbart editors giving advice to the Democrats in Congress, where the, you know, Republicans run Congress and have it at a 5% approval rating. So I think if anyone needs advice, it's probably John Boehner, not Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah, and how shallow is that? First of all, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, smart, very attractive. What are they talking about?
And she's a brilliant spokesperson for the Democrats.
But if she were a right winger, they'd love her.
Yeah,
right. But look, this is what they do. I mean, I mean, 2012 is just going to be a showcase of desperation, and this is, you know, these are the early examples of it.
Yeah, I love. In fact, I had seen another one of these. Now that we're on this, it is. It's become like Mean Girls. It's like high school over there. Dana Perino. This is the headline of Mediaite. Dana Perino, not a fan of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's hair. was on Jenna Lee. What's her name on the Five? Brought Dana Perino on to discuss what the future might hold for Mitt Romney. Lee said, "Let's just say it's Halloween. You're dressing up as a spokesperson for the DNC. Let's just say that's your." Dana Perino said, "With better hair." Meow.
Wow. Yeah, what? It was definitely, her hair was definitely a talking point. I mean, it was all over the right-wing media last week. So this stuff doesn't happen by accident, and it's not by coincidence. You know, this is stuff that they plot.
Was Dana Perino in some, like, straight girl or straight hair, you know, gang in high school where they shove frizzy-haired girls into the coat press? Or
I'm not even going to bring up Liz Trotta's hair.
All right. Mm-hmm. Greg Gutfeld on the Five. Here we go.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the best thing to happen to Republicans since Ronald Reagan. Mm. Seriously, I've had wedgies less irritating than her. So, Brazilla, let's gloss over her hateful lapses in logic and let me address the Democrats in general. Guys, what are you doing? How on earth did you settle on this person? Did you put an ad in USA Today for America's most obnoxious person? This woolly windbag is doing more for the right than free enterprise. Mm. Every time she opens her mouth, more Americans think, I'm voting for Romney just so I don't ever have to see this woman again.
Mm. That is the cattiest gay they have on their side.
Oh, God, Frizzilla.
Oh, look at her hair.
I wrote that.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's journalism?
I mean, it's sort of there's some deeper issues going on with Mr. Gutfeld, I think, lashing out at obnoxious women. And it's funny that he's going to lecture people about how good looking they should be.
I know, I know. And by the way, can I go on record saying I love Debbie Wasserman Schultz's hair? You morons! It's supposed to be that way. She's not, you know, it's like, it just, it's such a weird, you know.
Okay, I mean, again, you know, the beginning of election season, that is not going to go well, and we have an entire coordinated effort in the right-wing media to talk about a Democratic woman's hair. I mean, this shows you. Well, This is an ominous sign for how the year is going to unfold.
You know, wait, Eric, we should use that in the 2012 as just the ad, just that clip, and then just, is this all you got?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
exactly. Really? Is that
really?
It?
They can't debate issues, so they debate hair. Really?
You're going to pick on our girls? Okay.
Exactly.
Eric Bollert, love you. See you next week, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
There he goes.
That was fun.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Yeah, that's it. That's our tagline.
Sure.
Mm. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. I mean, the election's over. Please pick Mitt. I mean, this man is a turd bucket. Let's be honest.
Oh, dear.
That company that Bain Capital bought over in South Carolina, that GS Industries.
Yep.
And they looted everything and they ran it into the ground. They were billing the company they took over $900,000, almost $1 million a year in management fees to run it into bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about vulture capitalism? You know, these guys would steal the nickels from a dead man's eyes.
You know, buddy, I can't believe the way somebody put it. I think it was on the probably the Huckabee debate. You know, they asked Gingrich, like, you know, How can you criticize, you know, capitalists for, you know, risking their capital to save companies? It's like, oh,
wasn't
please.
Their capital.
Yeah. It wasn't their capital.
Other people's money.
Yeah.
It's called a leveraged buyout. In other words, it's borrowed money that they from rich people.
Right. But the way they put it literally, Jim, was like making Romney seem like Gandhi, like the biggest altruist that's ever lived. Like, how dare you risking their capital to save ailing companies?
Look at all the jobs are created in Burkina Faso.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I realize that name is a rich joke area, but curb yourself, people. This isn't junior high.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The breaking news from the 2012 primary. Of course, John Huntsman is going to drop out. Oh, that's not excellent. It's just not. He is going to throw all his...
Excellent!
No. He's going to throw all his support, all 0.1% of it, to Mitt Romney, who he's always thought was excellent.
We are at war with East Asia. We have always been at war with East Asia.
Which makes him briefly the bigger flip-flopper in the Republican primary. China. David Axelrod has the best tweets. He tweets, with 2016 in mind, Huntsman backs the man he's called a perfectly lubricated weather vane who has been on three sides of every major issue. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Make sure you mention how steadfast that Mitt Romney is. And by the way, he has historically hated him as much as everyone else hates Mitt Romney, but more, because their families have always been in, competition in Utah and in the, whatever.
In the church.
Yes.
Power
yes,
struggles, that
yes,
sort of thing.
Politically hates him, hate.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting. That'll be, we'll just see how authentic that seems. Forget what I said 11 hours ago, because I didn't mean that. All right, yeah, he told his staff last night. When is it, today?
Yeah, it's going to be today sometime.
Okay. All right. Oh, this ought to put Mitt Romney back in contention. He gave a handful of cash to a lady at a campaign. Because, he's having trouble with the whole I'm a regular guy thing.
How much would it cost me to buy your vote? Just give me a number.
Forget Citizens United. He's just giving bags of cash to people.
Did it come in a bag with a dollar sign on the side?
Well, if it did, he would owe Gene Simmons some money.
He had a monocle and a top hat, during a campaign stop in South Carolina, he gave an unemployed woman a handful of cash. Apparently, it was what he had on him, about $50 or $60.
A handful of crass.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. ABC News identified the woman as 55-year-old Ruth Williams and reported that she had received a message from God to track him down.
Mm.
So she's a God warrior. She needed to.
And then she got a message from the golden calf.
Pardon me?
Then she got the message from the golden calf.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She said, I was on the highway praying and said, God, just show me how to get my lights on. Well, a good mechanic can probably show you that. You know, that may be.
Well.
But God.
I think she's talking about paying her bill.
It's above God's pay grade.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Really?
Yeah.
I pulled up to a stop sign and
God says, call Angie's List.
Yeah.
And please.
Type Stephanie in the box.
Okay. God showed me, let's see, and then, and then God said, follow the bus, and I followed the bus to the, God is John Candy in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. God said, follow the bus, I followed the bus to the airport, and there on the rope line, Mitt Romney made the handout.
God said, you're either on the bus or off the bus.
I love Jim's God.
Jim's God's just cranky and irritated.
Surly.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you bothering me with that for?
Oh,
I got stuff to do.
Poor Mitt. Don't hate him. Don't be envious because he's rich. He was born that way.
My daddy told me when I was young,
we were Mormon millionaires.
We are all born millionaires, my friend.
Anderson, can I talk?
He told me not to run for president.
He told me not to run for president
till I was a billionaire.
Who left the dog on the roof? Wolf, wolf.
There's nothing wrong with being 1%.
Read the Wall Street Journal now. I like the crosswords, my friend.
Just buy some companies and fire away. Corporations eat people, my friend. I could be digging a ditch because I know life's a bitch, but that's not what happened. I was born this rich. There ain't no way to regret how I keep winning the bet. I'm in the downsizing business. I was born this rich. Oh, I'm sure there is some pain, maybe more, but that's just pain. Baby, I was born this rich.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Yes, we'll lay off here and there, but I've got near perfect hair. Baby, I was born this rich.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. The socialist conservatives, they're behind him, Rick Santorum.
Mm-hmm.
Who is number two, once again, pushing number two, right up against it in some polls.
Yeah, I think two polls pop that, though.
Really? Family Research Council President Tony Perkins. Oh, I'm sorry, I said who he
no,
is first.
No, blood, no! Norman, get out of the shower. What are you doing in there?
No, I see. I already said he's the Family Research Council. Right. It's a different guy. Okay. He announced on a conference call, social conservatives officially settled on Rick Santorum as their officially preferred candidate. Though the meeting was widely seen as an effort to settle on a candidate to stop Mitt Romney, Romney's own campaign sent a representative to make an appeal to the group.
And a bundle of cash.
Yeah, and a bag of cash. And they still said, I'm sorry, he's not a Christian. He's dark-sided.
She's dark-sided, too.
Yeah, I love this. Perkins said it was not a bash Romney weekend, and not a lot of time was spent discussing him, because I'm sure one person went, yeah, but he's a Mormon. No. I wonder how long Mitt Romney's representative got to talk. I was hoping that you could.
Got a whole bag of shit with your name on it.
Not just Mormon. No.
Zip it.
No. What? Okay, Rick Santorum on Romney.
I won't criticize his work in paying capital. I mean, I believe in capitalism. I believe in free enterprise. Oh, okay. Private equity firms are a very important and vital part of the free market system in this country. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you want your boss running for president, right? And that ability to be able to communicate to voters that we need to be able to win this election.
So he was trying to have it both ways there. It's not a bad thing. It's just not Mr. Spacely. You don't want him. Not that boss. Not that guy.
Reaction?
Wow. You know what? There's all sorts of people doing flyers and ads. Anti-Mitt Romney flyer campaign in South Carolina focuses on gay rights. This is because this is the kind of stuff that matters, apparently, to the social conservatives in South Carolina. A Democratic-allied super PAC has its way. Mitt Romney's past statements on gay rights issues will come back to haunt him in South Carolina. I know it's a little puzzling. Stay with me. The flyer says, we thought you'd like to see how much common ground there is between Mitt Romney and some of the great voices of the LGBT rights movement. And the head of the group said, this isn't about painting Romney as a liberal to voters in South Carolina. It's really about showing voters this man has no core and he will say anything to get elected. The handouts are meant to mirror flyers that were distributed by Romney during his 2002 gubernatorial campaign that included statements by Romney.
Oh, I have a core. It's made of baloney.
That read, all citizens deserve equal rights regardless of their sexual preference. So it's more just designed to show that he's just a giant flip-flopper on every issue.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Rick Santorum on the Romney Care.
Romney Care is a real scarlet letter here that we can't have a nominee that takes away the most important issue in this election.
Takes away the...
Yeah. Okay. Rick Santorum on the Evangelical League.
We're obviously going to be in touch with all the people who were there and encourage them to be as supportive as possible within their area of influence.
So yeah, he got the bid. Does it matter? I guess. Is it going to make a difference electorally in South Carolina?
It might. It might.
Okay. Well, we were saying earlier that polls are all cattywampus all over the place in South Carolina.
Yeah, well,
I mean, most show Romney ahead, but some show it pretty close with Gingrich and Ron Paul.
Right. Well, he just got this that endorsement from the evangelicals over the weekend. So once some polls are taken after that, we'll see how fast Santorum rises. Yeah.
Form rises to the top.
All right. Okay. Rick Santorum.
The less moral we are, the less well-behaved we are, the bigger the government gets, and the less free all of us become.
Oh, what? How smart is it what the president's doing politically on Friday? So he's trying to shrink government and get rid of some agencies, you know, that are the waste and all of that stuff and combine them. However, he has to ask Congress to let him do that. So politically, how do they play that one? How are they the small government, the president spending too much? So because he wants it, of course, they're going to be against it.
It's right. The wrong kind of small.
He wants to combine agencies, you know, just make things more efficient, mm-hmm. et cetera. I'm just saying it's...
Brilliant.
Smart politically.
Brilliant.
I went to the tavern and ordered a double, and the president is supposed to give me a single.
Oh, boy. Okay.
He's trying to shrink the cavern.
Okay, Newt Gingrich.
Mitt Romney is governed like a Massachusetts politician. Uh-huh. He's much closer to Dukakis and Kerry than he is to Ronald Reagan.
I think Santorum is technically closer to Dukakis, isn't it?
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Okay, Newt Gingrich on the 100,000 job claim.
He claims he will create 100,000 jobs. The Washington Post 2 days ago reported in their fact check column that he gets 3 Pinocchios. Now, Pinocchio is what you get from the Post if you're not telling the truth.
I have to say, I'm getting a little soft spot for that prickly little cactus, that Newt Gingrich.
That
angry little attack muffin. I saw him on Meet the Press yesterday, and, you know, David Gregory's grilling him on, first of all, you know, it's not his pack. I mean, right. This is the new world Citizens United has brought mm-hmm. us, but this about the Romney film.
Mm-hmm.
And because they found like 2 or 3 inaccuracies, I thought he was right. He was like, well, yeah, they should edit it or whatever. I mean, he called on them to edit it, whereas he actually made a good point. The Gingrich ad that Romney ran in 30 seconds, they were 4 inaccuracies
right.
that were pointed out by, you know, independent sources. So, you know, Gregory's hammering in on shouldn't this ad come down and, well, it's not accurate. It's like because 2 or 3 things are slightly inaccurate doesn't mean the whole Bain story is inaccurate.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, if you got a couple of things wrong, then edit those out or correct them. But anyway, I love that. I've always said that I love that Newt Gingrich.
Oh, sure.
You know how much I've said that.
You said that so much in the 90s. Oh, my God.
Go, Newtie. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Huntsman should be doing his, what do you call it?
Concert?
Excellent! No! Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if he gets the band back together for his announcement that he's dropping out and endorsing Mittens, who he's always loved? Okay, yeah.
Whatever,
Wizard. Okay. He's
Excellent!
Yeah. All right. So we'll go to that live in maybe 10 minutes or so if he is on time. All right, so 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Look at this. Sexy liberal Von Seal in Asheville, North mm-hmm. Carolina.
Yes.
Who's the sexiest of all liberals?
Well, because she makes great creme brulee. Well,
yes, and she went to the Austin Sexy
yes.
Liberal. And thanks to the SM Show. Hi, all y'alls. That's her official salutation. I have to brag on Bouchon, the official French restaurant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Thanks to my small business-owning Affordable Health Care Act welcoming job-creating and sustaining husband, Asheville has a new jobs program. Please see the article below. We're so proud of Bouchon! And also, you may remember our horse, dog, and cat are all rescue animals. I attribute our liberal do-gooderism to the pervasive influence of the Daily Dose of the show, our subscriptions to the podcast, allegiance to advertisers, attendance at the show, and purchase of Sexy Liberal iTunes album, and, of course, your co-parenting of the formerly sullen and resentful bully. We were part of the village that raised her formerly resentful teen.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuller.
Yes! Oh, my God. By the way, I forgot to bring this in today. John Fugelsang did a coffee table book of the Sexy Liberal Tour that is stunning. It is stunning.
He takes some great pictures.
We're trying to see if we can sell it. It's got pictures of every show and fans and everybody. It's really. And Von Ciel is in there.
You know, you can do the same thing if you just learn how to use the software that's
right,
on
it's
your...
It's a MacBook. It's a Mac. No, it's an actual...
Right. It's an iPhoto. You have it on your computer if you would just learn how to use it.
Do it. Don't be crazy.
There's an app for that.
Yes.
There's an app for that. Anyway, and I was thinking, because there's great pictures of Aisha when she was with us in Santa Fe and in Detroit, and that was the big announcement in case you missed it. Oh, golly, you folks in Minneapolis are lucky. Aisha Tyler rejoins the Sexy Liberal Tour. She's filling in for Hal for the May show. Hal has a new Disney show and has another commitment. But Aisha Tyler, she joined the talk on CBS. The ratings have shot up.
Yep.
She has the number one podcast in the country.
And Archer starts up again this month on FX.
She's awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, she will join us in hour one tomorrow to talk about the big Minneapolis show.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah. Oh, golly. Get it. Tickets going fast everywhere, so get it. I heard the Blue State Ball was awesome. John Fugelsang went in my stead and rocked the house, I hear. Our buddies Ed Schultz and Bill Press were there. Yay! Yay for Minneapolis! All right, so frankly, Nudy, who...
Frankly.
You know, temporarily on my future husband list. I love that cuddly little cactus. Go, Nudy.
Or that cuddly little horned melon, which is what you were eating earlier this morning.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Horned melon.
I brought some awful thing. Kiwana melon, something. I thought, let's try something new and different. No.
No.
No. Ever try anything new and different in your life. Just do the same old
fruit with strychnine. That's different.
Yes. Fruit with spikes is God's way of telling you don't eat this.
It actually looks exactly like a dog toy that I saw a Jack Russell Terrier with at the park yesterday.
I know the dog toy you're talking about.
Yeah, with this little spiky
spikes.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's supposed to massage their gums, but...
Sure.
No, but this melon didn't massage your anything.
I just think I'm going to burst.
It maybe massaged your gag reflex. That's about it.
Yeah. I almost was talking to the dinosaurs on the big white telephone. All right. Nudie.
I'm calling on them to either edit out every single mistake or to pull the entire film.
He talking about his film or his PAX film or...
No, he was... Oh, I'm sorry. Well, first of all, he said that there is a 30-second ad running where there are four inaccuracies that have been called by independent agencies, and because he's being called on the carpet for the 30-minute film.
Yeah, so it's a tit-for-tat thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like he's calling on them to edit out the inaccuracies in the Romney film, whereas Romney didn't say anything when there were inaccuracies found.
Okay, so that's why you like him?
The Romney bot does not care. The Romney bot must just win. That's he doesn't care about inaccuracies.
The Romney bot must win. The Romney bot must win. The Romney bot must win.
You know, I think that's how we got into trouble in the Terminator. You know, the robots took over and...
Mm-hmm. Rise of the Machines.
Yes, I think that's what happened.
You know what I always say in this situation? Only Will Smith can save us now. He's the only one that can tell which one of the robots are.
I think you're referencing...
Different movie.
iRobot.
Yes.
I think you're referencing Blade Runner.
No. No.
Because you can't tell who is a replicant or not.
No, I'm talking about the Will's. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Oh, my God, Jim, back me up.
Okay.
What's going on? Something's going on in the universe. Jim had my back on a reference. All right, I mentioned this story earlier to Eric Bullard. Stephen Colbert, of course, brilliant as usual, pointing out just the really absurdity of the Citizens United decision and the super PACs. 17 of the top 20 biggest political donors this election cycle are conservative. Egged on in no small part by the Supreme Court decision to turn campaign finance into the Wild West, a small group of donors has gotten increasingly aggressive in their efforts to use their enormous wealth to influence elections. This has given a decided advantage to Republicans and other conservative candidates. 17 of the top 20 spenders seeking to buy election results are conservative. So, you know, that's why it seems only the Republicans are so delighted about this decision. All right. Little Dumber Boy, I guess he's still in.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Rick Perry.
They told me,
yeah, he was talking about some religious reference. And somebody was that said the Bible wasn't a good speaker, but God used him anyway. I relate to that.
God told a feller one time that, I forget.
Oops. All right. Yeah, he was. It is amazing how. We'll get to this after the top of the hour. Stop giving me that face.
Okay. Thought you were going to call for something that would have lasted longer than the segment here.
Listen, Sonny, I've been doing this a while.
I know, but you've called for things before.
This is my first time at the rodeo.
This ain't my first time at the rodeo. Just sit over there.
Okay.
No, just saying, it's amazing how when there's a Democratic president, then, you know, military people, that they're just kids. They're kids making mistakes. Yeah. They're talking about the Marines in
that
Afghanistan.
Is crazy kids.
We will talk about that and play that soundbite that's longer after the break.
And also, Huntsman is going to drop out after the break.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. 58 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Martin Luther King Day. I am the man keeping me down.
Yeah.
We're here live.
Happy
Monday.
Thanks.
Sorry. It's because of my own self-esteem. I'm making you work, too.
Okay, great.
I got nothing else to do. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. By the way, we're like still number one comedy album on Amazon for the 7,000th day in a row or something. Thank you, God.
Wow.
Love you, each and every one.
In April 2011, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour launched in Madison, Wisconsin. Since then, over 18,000 fans have experienced America's hottest, most acclaimed, and sought-after live comedy show. Stephanie Miller and her Sexy Liberal Players are proud to announce their first live tour album, which Billboard magazine ranked a hotshot debut. Now everyone can experience the phenomenal comedy trio of John Fugelsang.
When they go teabagging, it's a couple of big mouths controlling all the nuts.
Hal Sparks.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of somebody else.
And Stephanie Miller.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to iTunes or Amazon.com to download Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1, for your very own piece of progressive comedy history.
We love you, Sexy Liberals! Good night!
Own the comedy album ranked number 1 on both iTunes and Amazon.com. And get some sexy liberal comedy into your life today.
Yahoo! Okay. And up next, Philadelphia, February 4th. Get it. We aren't going to be able to get to New York or D.C. anytime soon. We're booked. So go. Get it. Go to Philly. And then on and on. Phoenix sold out. Chicago is getting close in March. Albuquerque getting close. Also in March. Madison already sold out. Sorry. I've heard people from Madison are going to Chicago, though. Get it.
Yeah.
Get it. Sorry. Only one show. Minneapolis just announced Aisha Tyler filling in for Hal Sparks on that one. So much fun. Hal has a commitment for his Disney TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So Aisha Tyler, and she'll be in with us in hour one to talk about it tomorrow. Yay! And then back to Boston in June, L.A., the big L.A. show, the return in July, and then September, Seattle, the big return on Mama's birthday.
Yay.
Okay. Did you continue? Do you have a week-long birthday binge, Chris Lavoie?
Your
birthday was Friday.
I had some friends meet me at a bar on Saturday.
Did you bring a baby?
No babies.
No?
Not a single baby.
Oh, Von Ciel in Asheville, I was saying her Christmas card actually has a horse in the house.
Oh.
She said, forget baby in the bar. Here's a horse in the house. Yeah their whole family is in the house, including the horse.
Look at you. You have a horse.
In a house.
In your house.
I'm looking at the Bouchon website and some of the food there.
The official French restaurant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is.
Asheville, North Carolina.
What's the website, Jim?
Bouchon, French bistro in Asheville, North Carolina.
There you go. Google it.
B-O-U-C-H-O-N.
All right. We don't know if Wizard has gotten the band. Is his announcement over, or has he not done it yet? We can't tell.
I don't think he's done it yet. I think that was just an empty podium we were looking at.
Yeah. Somehow we'll have to soldier on without John Huntsman in the race.
They're tuning up the bass right now.
Sure.
Excellent.
Well, Romney's an empty suit, so I guess that, you know, makes sense.
Bah. Okay. The little dumber boy, Rick Perry. He said it would be over the top to file criminal charges against four U.S. Marines who urinated on dead militants in Afghanistan. These kids.
Pranks.
It's a criminal offense. It's against the law of the United
kids
States.
Kids will be kids. You know how it is. Right?
Well, obviously, 18, 19-year-old kids make stupid mistakes all too often, and that's what's occurred here. What's really disturbing to me is just kind of the over-the-top rhetoric from this administration and their disdain for the military, it appears, whether it's the Secretary of State or whether it's the Secretary of Defense. I mean, these kids made a mistake. There's not any doubt about it. Shouldn't have done it. It's bad. But to call it a criminal act, I think is over the top.
But it's criminal.
If they were Taliban kids urinating on Marine corpses.
Yeah. Might have something to say about that. Can you imagine?
Crime in history.
He's talking about Hillary Clinton and Leon Komedic. Can you imagine a Secretary of State or a U.S. Defense Secretary not condemning this action?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's who we are as Americans. Yeah. I mean, it's. So he described President Obama's administration's disdain for the military. Whether it's the Secretary of State or whether it's the Secretary of Defense. That's disdain for the military, saying this is, I mean...
Saying that actions like that can put military members in danger?
Not to mention the peace process in Afghanistan, which, what huge percentage of Americans want us to get out?
You know, like it or not, the Taliban is a part of that peace process. So you don't want to go around...
Rick Perry, being the Dana Loesch of the Republican field, apparently.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I was mentioning this to Eric Bollard. This is, Jim, that's my new favorite thing you do, is, Wolf Blitzer melting down in a effort to not appear partisan in any way.
It's all the same. We'll have to leave it there. It's the worst thing ever and not a big deal at the same time. Can we go to commercial now, please?
I'm starting to sound like I might have a point of view about something. That there might be some sort of...
Both sides do it. It's
several,
happens all the time.
Several CNN on-air journalists criticizing Dana Loesch's recent comments supporting the U.S. Marines who urinated on the dead bodies of Taliban fighters. One contributor said, what's interesting is how the kid gloves are applied to outlandish comments made by the likes of Eric Erickson and Dana Loesch and how it is a negative impact on the CNN brand. I think there is fear of saying anything to them because they're Tea Party folks, and there's been a clear effort on the part of our political team to court that whole Tea Party thought process, if you will.
We need to do everything we can to get the world to hate Americans.
Yeah,
whatever it takes.
Yeah. And this headline, CNN's Dana Loesch, too extreme for Rush Limbaugh, even.
Yeah.
Under fire for, obviously, the comments she made. Her comments put the talk radio host on the fringe where even Rush Limbaugh won't go. He actually said there's no defense of this.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
And then he went on to defend it.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, right.
Kind of.
Exactly. Well, we have this is the original. In case you missed it, because apparently many people do miss the Dana Show. That's what I said. She has a radio show?
What?
All I recall is her being on Larry King screaming at him when I was on.
Yeah.
Can you make her shut up, Larry? Larry, make her shut up!
She is a little screechy and emotional.
Bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
She doesn't get the whole that you have people from both sides on and the other person also gets
there
the same.
There is no other side!
There's the wrong side!
I will admit, though, after a while, I did keep saying teabaggers just because I knew it would make her head explode.
Oh.
It's like, well, Larry, the teabaggers. Larry!
Boink, 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 boink. Quit it.
You were poking her with a sharp stick. Reaching from your square
from
into her
box
square.
Into her square.
Yeah.
Box. What? No.
No.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
You weren't poking your box.
All right. This is from The Dana Show.
Can someone explain to me if there's supposed to be a scandal that someone pees on the corpse of a Taliban fighter? Someone who was as part of an organization murdered over 3,000 Americans? I'd drop trow and do it, too. That's me, though. I want a million cool points for these guys. Is that harsh to say? Come on, people. This is a war. What do you think this is?
What are we doing in Afghanistan? Okay, the Taliban did not attack us on 9/11, Dana.
And Al-Qaeda is a phony group anyway. It just means the base. It was a database of the Mujahideen that we hired to throw the Soviets out of Afghanistan. Yeah, the last time.
She's not too bright,
is she? Here's how Rashlima have it both ways. Is they were just responding to the hysterical overreaction. From who? Of course, the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense are going to issue a statement condemning it. That's hysterical overreaction.
Are we to presume that Barack Hussein Obama will enjoy firing?
I'll tell you.
Those four soldiers captured in the worse than Abu Ghraib video. You heard about this, right? There's a video, nobody knows how old it is, of some U.S. Marines urinating on the bodies of Taliban combatants in Afghanistan. Just peed on them. And, of course, it's Marines. It violated the rules. There's no defense of this. The overreaction to this is nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yes. From who? Did he go on to say from who?
No. Calling it an overreaction is defending it.
Yes.
There's no defense for that, except I'm going to defend it now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice way to have it both ways there, Rush.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, Kristen Yankton writes, guys, what's the Dana Loesch Show? Is the title just Dana, like Oliver?
With an exclamation point.
Well, because she says everything with an exclamation point. Well,
make her shut up!
Yeah. She needs to learn how to modulate.
Shrill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I jump down and pee on him, too!
Maybe radio isn't for her.
Maybe it's not everyone's bag.
No. There, Dana. Maybe you should try something else.
There. Something where you don't have to use your voice so much.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be a mime.
Ooh, that would be nice.
I'm in a box.
Okay. Some right-wing mime.
I'm pulling a rope. I'm walking against the wind.
I'm walking against the liberal media hailstorm wind. Ooh, look at me. Okay.
I'm dropping trout.
And Marcel Marceau said, no.
I'm in a tiny right-wing box. Okay. All right. Wow. Here's your compassionate Republicans at work. At a town hall, GOP representative berates student concerned about Pell Grant cuts and tells her to join the military.
Oh, well, that'll fix things.
Yes. To avoid a government shutdown at the end of 2011, Republicans succeeded in their campaign to cut federal Pell Grant program by effectively kicking 100,000 low-income students off the rolls. Last week,
cannon fodder.
Yeah. Arkansas constituent Kelly Eubanks, a college student who has two jobs and two children. Oh, great. Uniquely American. Mm. Terrific. Confronted her congressman, Representative Steve Womack, a Republican, at a town hall meeting over his attack on the program she now relies on. Instead of any explanation, Womack lashed out at Eubanks, telling her to pay her own way by joining the military like he did. After refusing to answer her question, he finally just asked her to be quiet and listen.
Wow.
Like Mitt Romney says, only in quiet rooms should we have democracy. Shush. The irony, of course, is that Womack actually attended college on taxpayer money by joining the National Guard, but instead of acknowledging that fact, he dodged the issue and had the mic taken away from Eubanks.
Oh, well then.
You, good day, sir. You get nothing. No good democracy.
Day.
Nothing.
You get nothing!
Okay. Donna in Maryland. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Steph.
Hey, go
listen,
ahead.
I have a different take on this peeing on the soldiers thing. Mm-hmm. I think they put us in harm's way. Granted, I don't think it's as important as what they've done to some of these animals, some of these soldiers. Recently, PETA came up with a video where these soldiers were beating to death a sheep.
Mm.
They also sent a video of some soldier that threw a dog over the cliff.
Yeah,
to me, that's a lot more horrific when you're dealing with a live human or animal than when you're dealing with peeing on dead people. That's my personal opinion on that.
But the problem, Don, is it puts live American troops in jeopardy.
Yeah.
It is a recruitment video.
Right. It does, but I think what they did wasn't as horrific.
Yeah, well, no, listen, you're talking to an animal lover, so right. I can't even watch that stuff.
And we need to be careful not to lump these people in with all Marines.
That's
most
right.
Marines are just really,
would
really
never,
good people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, 18 minutes.
Well,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
It also begs the question what the heck we're doing in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Forestalling the inevitable.
Yeah. Yep.
Karzai gets strung up on a lamppost like his predecessor.
Oy vey. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
23 minutes after the hour, we join John Huntsman live.
On some of the issues, I believe that candidate is Governor Mitt Romney.
Oh, no, you don't.
As for the Huntsman family, we step down with an even greater appreciation for American democracy, which is fundamental to American values. After all the town halls and handshakes and meet and greets, we leave it in the hands of the people, and we respect the results. To our many staff, supporters, and volunteers, I offer my heartfelt thanks. Today, our campaign for the presidency ends, but our campaign to build a better and more trustworthy America continues. We will continue to fight for a flatter, simpler tax code that helps unleash opportunity rather than stifle it.
For the top 1%.
For an energy policy that ends the scourge of our addiction to foreign oil.
And the environment.
For congressional term limits. For education reform that prepares our kids for the realities of the 21st century. For financial reform that breaks up too-big-to-fail banks and protects taxpayers from future bailouts.
Okay. Okay.
And we will continue fighting to bring home our brave men and women from Afghanistan and stop nation-building overseas and start rebuilding our own nation.
Yeah,
straight off the reservation.
For Mary Kay and our family, these last 6 months have been an incredible and awe-inspiring journey.
Incredibly
successful. I have seen the very best of America. I've seen it in the spirit of our entrepreneurs, whose innovations continue to inspire
overseas.
and better the world.
Motorcycle ad.
I've seen it in the courage of our veterans, who I've met at VFW halls in communities all across this nation. I saw it in China, 10,000 miles away, meeting with dissidents who had been tortured and beaten, but who drew strength from our nation's values, our openness, our freedoms, our commitment to human rights. Halfway around the world, they could still see America's light. That is the power America still projects. And I will never stop fighting for her and fighting to ensure that America's light shines bright for generations and generations to come. Because in the end, we must all come together as Americans and must be reminded that the fight to preserve and enhance life, liberty, and happiness is what really sets us apart in this world and is worth our tireless efforts as citizens of this most extraordinary nation. Thank you, and may God bless America.
All right.
Okay. All right, then. Oh, yeah, and the Chiron was America needs strong and principled leadership. Is he's saying that it's Mitt Romney that has principles of some sort?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney's the one with core principles? Is that his? Ah! And also the Chiron, Jim said, GOP needs unity, not attacks. You mean like these?
Yeah.
Jim, who said, I will always put my country first. It seems Governor Romney believes in putting politics first. Who said that?
John Huntsman.
You're not supposed to get right.
You're not playing right, but yeah. Who says Governor Romney enjoys firing people? I enjoy creating jobs. Who said that?
Hunter S. Thompson.
No. No. Boy, can I just say, if his campaign had been as nimble as they were in getting all of that anti-Romney stuff magically off of his website in record time, he might be the nominee. Wow! It's like the Sandra Bullock movie, The Net. Everything's gone. It's erased. Have you seen that? Yeah, everything's magically gone already. It's a, you know, all those things come up, video not available. What happens when you know?
Buffering.
Right. Yeah,
buffering.
Apparently it's buffering. It'll be buffering forever.
Yeah.
The John Huntsman website. There was a backflip video that highlighted his flip-flops. Gone. Magically gone.
This video has been removed for political purposes.
Yes, because I'm a weenie. Yeah. Oh, the video has been removed by user. This video is private. Now it's private.
Private.
Now it's private. Why are you prying into my
personal
anti-Romney
private
My
video
formerly
stuff.
Public, now private
quit
stuff.
Quit nosing around in there.
You.
Wow.
Get
off my
America?
Internet lawn, you kids. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Gene.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Say, I'm calling to be the language police. Rick Perry was referring to those kids who peed on the Taliban people. What are we sending, 10-year-olds over there now?
Yeah.
This is just like all the language about things like job creators and the Clean Air Act. Republicans need to be called out every single time they use language to manipulate people.
Yep. Yeah, I know. It is amazing. It's just a way of minimizing, you know, what somebody's done, right? It's like, oh, these kids.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you reframe it for people in those ways and they begin to repeat it themselves. I mean, I called you last year after I'd seen you twice and called myself a Steph head. I'd like to think I have something to do with that catching on.
Now, yes. I think so, too, Gene. You're the official Steph head of the Steph Show. Thank you.
Yay!
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be some girl.
Oh, she is. Does this little minx have a name? It's
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We's all jammed up tomorrow in a good way, mm-hmm. I'm told. We have Sexy Liberal herself, Aisha Tyler,
yes.
In hour number one tomorrow to announce her return to Sexy Liberal for the Minneapolis
right.
show.
And we have a couple of people from the Recall Walker effort.
Oh.
Tomorrow is a huge day. I think there's going to be a huge announcement
yes.
as to how many signatures they actually
that,
got.
That was the very first Sexy Liberal Show, and it was the yep. very first cause we gave to, so
that's
we're
right.
very excited and following that closely. So
and,
yes.
And, of course, Charlie Pierce joins us is in yes. his regular Tuesday spot.
Our Tuesday pal.
Yep.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Rodney in Indiana. Hey, Rodney, welcome.
Hey, thank you. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I just comment about the urination thing also and how I'm more disgusted with people that are, like, saying they're going to do it. They would do it, too. The lady said she would do it also.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and Rick Perry should be probably, I think, the drummer boy or the dumber boy should be drummed out of the race by now for these comments.
Yeah, well, he's doing a good job himself. I don't think anyone
yeah.
else needs to drum
I
him.
I mean, I can't imagine what these kids see and what we've put them into and the trauma that they have. And they're not getting any kind of counseling for what they see and how they, but, and they're going to react in certain ways. But remember the picture with the nude people, a long time ago, and they took
yeah.
pictures of those people. You know, there's something's going to come out of their reacting to things and what they're seeing. They should be punished for it. I'm not saying to condemn them. I don't think it's right what they did. But I can't imagine what they see and how much trauma they have that it's going to reflect somehow and they're going to do stupid things.
Yeah, but you can't. That's why there's a military code of conduct. You can't, you know.
And desecrating corpses in yeah. Islamic country, just like throwing kerosene on the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
going to
make it more difficult for
right. It has
everybody.
More cultural significance mm-hmm. there than it does
right.
here.
Yeah. Wow. Could you take your organ out for me? It's another. Our friends on the religious right, Jim, you know how very, very. How very religious and right they are.
Sure.
yeah.
Kansas Republican House Speaker prays that Obama's children be fatherless and his wife a widow. You've seen that.
That
last week. Kansas right. House Speaker Mike O'Neill, that guy, Republican,
okay. yeah.
oddly enough, forced to apologize to First Lady Michelle Obama after forwarding an email to fellow lawmakers that called her Mrs. Yo Mama. Ha ha ha. Get it? Because it's a funny racial thing. Okay, you know what? I think right-wingers should have their forward buttons disabled. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, please.
Because it really, they always blame that I didn't know. I just forward. I didn't realize. I didn't know what
no,
I was for. I didn't,
was,
what?
I didn't
it's in
read
what?
It.
No, I just forward. I hit forward without really
reading it.
I didn't
yeah.
know what it was.
Forward button is it's part of a socialist plot. O'Neill forwarded to House Republicans another email that was referred to President Obama and a Bible verse that says, let his days be few, and calls for his children to be without a father and his wife to be widowed.
I meant for him to be one-term president. That's
but
all
it's in
it
the
meant.
Bible.
It's
so
in
it,
the Bible.
Psalm 109, which is a prayer for the death of a leader, became a popular conservative meme after Obama's election. Yes, we've heard this before.
Of course.
And there's the tongue-in-cheek prayer for the president was seen on bumper stickers, in fact. See, it's funny.
It's a joke.
O'Neill forwarded the prayer with his own message. Oh, so presumably then he did actually read it, so he didn't just, it wasn't another one of those forward button accidents where someone's just clumsy.
Right.
And just, oh!
Oh, oops, I hit the wrong button.
Oh, no.
I meant to hit reply where I was going to say, don't
I did that once.
Send this to me ever again.
I actually was meant to do a draft thing and hit send once. Oh, I did that. But the forward button, you see, if you happen to hit the forward button and then you add your own message, it's sort of presumably you saw that what was in the thing you're forwarding.
Well, he wrote his own message commenting on the content
yes.
of the,
oh, the forward
of what he was forwarding.
My comment.
And his comment was, at last I can honestly voice a biblical prayer for our president. Look it
wow.
up. It's word for word. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Brothers and sisters, can I get an amen?
Pray
amen.
For the death of the president.
O'Neill's office refuses to apologize for the email, insisting the message was only referring to Obama's days in office.
Uh-huh. Because that's what that psalm refers
sure.
to.
Sure.
You're a lying sack of
children
crap.
Being orphans.
Yes, that's only about time in office.
Lying, scheming,
and his widow.
Sack of liquid crap.
Yeah, oh, here, let yes. me read it. Yeah. Let
because
his days...
you call someone who loses their job a widow. You know, that's common.
That's normal.
Yeah,
let his days be few, and let another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one expend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children.
It's in the Bible. What?
That's Christian. Come on.
Okay. Thanks.
Damn, the Secret Service button. Should pay him a visit.
Forward is a, you know,
it's a tool
of the Satan, the forward button. Hello, Cheyenne in California.
Hi, good morning. My comment is on the soldiers. You
yes.
know, first of all, you know, they teach in the Marines, kill, annihilate the enemy. And in their training, this is what they're taught. These are trained killers. So in this moment, all of a sudden, we expect the soldiers to sometimes or always be able to pull back from that thought of annihilating the enemy. But further, you know, let me say this, that those people like Rick Santorum and Rick Perry and all these people that get up there and advocate for these wars, and I see them on stage with their kids, that's a military age, and they stand there in pristine condition. Maybe we need to
right.
bring back the draft.
Well, Shan, you remember Mitt Romney said that his five sons they were serving like a greater cause,
sure.
which is getting him elected president.
Right,
that's
and
why they're not
making
available.
Money.
Yeah,
available for
yeah that kind of service.
Remember those trust fund punks who said, no, I'm not going to go fight the war. I'm going to stay here
yeah,
and make
I
money
mean,
and enrich myself.
Please, in Mitt we trust. I mean,
that's,
really,
I mean,
what is there a bigger
the
cause?
American way.
I don't think there's a greater cause than that.
No, fighting wars is for the little people.
I mean, for Pete's sake.
I'm
running for office, for God's sakes.
There seems to be extra snark in this segment of the program. I like it.
What's that?
For Pete's sake, there's a bigger cause than my self-ambition? I mean, really? For heaven's sakes. Wow, speaking of Obama derangement syndrome, the Washington Post let Al Kamen publish something too outrageous even for Fox Nation.
Wow.
Speaking of, Media Matters sends us this, way to go, Al Kamen. A post under your byline joking that President Obama acknowledged having secret sons is so outrageous it's been taken down from Fox Nation. This was last week. Obama spoke at an event in Chicago, discussed some of the initiatives he was able to push forward during his first term. He talked about the Lilly Ledbetter Fair mm-hmm. Pay Act. He said, the first bill I signed, a bill that said we're going to have equal pay for equal work because I want my daughters treated the same way as my sons. Applause. We got that done. I don't think he meant my sons, but of course they ran with that. Yes. The Washington Post used that comment to chuckle over the mind-boggling, dishonest, and shockingly insensitive notion that President Obama acknowledged having illegitimate sons. This puts Kamen out where even Fox Nation won't stay. The website famous for such offensive headlines as Obama's hip-hop barbecue didn't create jobs. quickly reposted Kamen's report, but then the post has since been taken down. Yeah. Even Fox Nation was like, all right. That's obviously. Okay. All right. Oh, my goodness. There's got to be a place for Katy Perry's father in Ron Paul's campaign, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Wow.
Katy Perry's father apologizes for remarks about Jahoos. Yeah, I forgot that he's a pastor.
He's a pastor. And yes. Katy Perry started out as a Christian
pop
artist.
I can't imagine he endorsed the kissing of the girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's when she kind of broke away from the whole Christian thing.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit.
And Russell Brand apparently broke away from the whole Christian thing, too.
Whoops. Oh, dear. Jim Louise. Yeah. Yes. Perry's father, Reverend Keith Husden, is her father. He said he meant to compliment Jewish people's prosperity. Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
When he said having money is what it takes to make Jews jealous, he was visiting another parish.
What? What'd I say?
What? He was blessing business people during a January 5th sermon and just went too far. Katy Perry's agents told the Associated Press the singer does not comment on her personal life or her crazy anti-Semitic father, apparently. Wow. What did I say? They're good with money. What?
What?
Okay, what the? What the? What the? What is going on in the Favre family?
Favre.
Something, may I just say, not to be judgmental, something's going awry in that family.
Something's also gone awry in the Tebow family.
Yeah, well,
Tebow lost over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, when sending naked pictures of yourself masturbating in a pair of Crocs is like the least embarrassing thing in your family. Well, you know something.
Yeah, and the Crocs are the most embarrassing part of that story.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
The Crocs are.
Yeah. Oh, good God!
They're worse than Uggs.
Oh, Brett Favre's.
Yes.
Sister has been accused of destroying a house by creating a gargantuan amount of dangerous meth fumes. Well, she had a meth lab apparently.
Great.
Almost blew up the house next door.
Oh.
Brett's younger sister, Brandy Favre. Brandy Favre.
Brandy spelled with an I, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And I bet she was the heart. She was the heart in her meth lab. She was arrested in a massive meth bust in Mississippi last year. And now a couple lives next door to the alleged meth lab claims the fumes from the manufacturing process have wreaked havoc on their home.
Well, that'll be a big selling point on the resale. Oh, there's a meth lab.
The couple claims a meth screening company. Wow, there's a business. Detected widespread meth contamination in their home after Brandy's January arrest and recommended the entire place be cleaned. As a result, the couple claims they had to find a new home for 5 months while their house was restored to a livable condition. Wow. And then the other one I saw was that Haley Barbour, one of the people that he pardoned, Brett Favre's brother, who was, I guess, in prison for murder. I think he killed a friend in a drunk driving accident or something.
Oh, God.
I know. A brother of Brett Favre. Just saying. Maybe it's having the name Favre.
But how can it be murder if it was an accident?
I don't know. I'm going to Google that. But
okay.
It was it's pretty controversial. It's 200 people he pardoned, which, you know,
And why did the Favre family, why do they pronounce it backwards? It's spelled Favre. F-A-V-R-E.
Because we don't want to sound French.
Okay.
They need to buy a vowel.
Yeah.
Okay. 45.
I think when you go to Bouchon, you should try the Favre.
With a nice candy. We like the Favre beans. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me rock it. That's all I want to do. Let me rock it. Rock it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Madison. Hey, Mike.
Hi, one more little tidbit on the Favre fiasco.
Favre.
Apparently, our former governor, Tommy Thompson, here in Wisconsin, contacted Haley Barbour and encouraged him to let Brett Favre go. And then,
Ernest Favre.
Out of prison.
Ernest Favre.
And Favre turned around and held a fundraiser for Tommy Thompson for U.S. Senate.
Oh, dear. Well, that looks bad. All right. Hey, by the way, speaking of Madison, Tommy says on the recall efforts,
yes,
they needed 540,000 signatures, got 720,000.
Yeah. Wow. Yep.
This is a state with a total population of 5,700,000. Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Bye, wanker.
But what if he pulls in Eddie Munster? I won't go. I won't. I won't. I won't.
No, you're going. You're going. Oh, he's going to have that same dazed, cross-eyed look he always does when he gets recalled.
Yeah.
Like when he's just been hit with a plank. Governor Walker, got some news for you. You're not governor anymore. I'm going
Isn't
to you in
wonderful.
Going to you in 3, 2. All right. Okay. Jim, I have some more interesting points for you.
Oh.
Pardon me. Who said, I think that what the American people want today more than anything is a level of consistency. They want trust. They want a level of trust in their elected officials. There's an issue on the flip-flops of Romney as it relates to trust. I don't know that he can go on to beat President Obama given his record. I mean, there's a question about whether you're running for the White House or running for the Waffle House. You've got a real problem with the American people who said that.
Brett Favre.
No, good guess. No, John Huntsman said that. Whoa. About Mitt Romney before he just endorsed him this Oops. Morning because he just dropped out of the race. That's
That seems inconsistent.
Hmm. You know what? If you have 47 members of Congress supporting you, as Mitt announced today, you think you're going to be able to do what needs to be done in terms of reforming Congress? No how, no way. Who said that?
Hunter S. Thompson.
No. I guess so, no. John Huntsman said that of Mitt Romney before, you know, this morning when he said he's the best choice ever. Always said that. Who said, you think if you're the largest recipient of donations from Wall Street, as Mitt is, you're going to be able to take care of the banking problem and address too big to fail? No how, no way. Who said that?
Yeah, Millard Fillmore.
No, that was a really bad guess. John Huntsman said that. Okay, let's do a bonus round. Why not? Who said Romney's statement that he likes being able to fire people has made him pretty much unelectable? Who said that?
Jean Chasseur.
No, John Huntsman. I guess he likes lost causes.
Sure.
Like his own campaign. Okay.
Oops.
Oops. Wow. Speaking of damning videos, did you see? Here's our latest compassionate conservative video of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney to wheelchair using medical marijuana patient. I don't support medical marijuana. Bye.
Wow.
In this video, an 80-pound man with muscular dystrophy in a wheelchair explains to Mitt Romney that his qualified physician believes medical marijuana is the only medication that helps him. Mitt tells him he should take the synthetic marijuana. The man explains this makes him violently ill. The man then asks Mitt whether he believes he and his doctor should be arrested over medical marijuana. And Mitt turns his back and
Bye.
Walks away. Which, yeah, the headline, luckily he was in a wheelchair, so Mitt got away.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's your compassionate conservative. Oh, Chris, here's some bad news for you. I'm sorry to bring this to you from Gawker. Bacon Lake to cancer again. Ruins your morning.
Yeah.
Swedish scientists suggest a link between processed meat like bacon and sausage and pancreatic cancer.
I still like bacon. Bacon's good food.
I told you my girlfriend Lisa's a vegetarian, except she eats bacon, which is what? She's
like
a vegetarian. She's a vegetarian. I'm like, you are not. That's not vegetarian
in any way.
That's
like the meatiest of all meats.
Right?
Yeah. What? All right.
Okay. Gawker also bringing us Chinese Apple fans even more insane than American Apple fans.
Yeah.
Yikes. Apple fanboys in the U.S. have nothing on their Chinese counterparts. Launch of the iPhone 4. Rioting, I tell you. There was rioting.
Someone in the chat room says bacon is the candy of meat.
bacon-wrapped apples.
The launch of the iPhone 4 in China caused an actual riot in Beijing with the gadget-hungry crowd flinging eggs at Apple's sparkling flagship store. They got egged.
Huh.
The crowd erupted after the store failed to open on schedule at 7 a.m. and some threw eggs and shouted at employees through the windows. People just, they got to have their Apple products, I'm telling you what.
Well, you're turning into an Apple fanboy.
I know. Boy?
Fan chick. Girl. I don't know.
Because of that weird fruit I ate earlier. Jim was right. I've turned into a, what have I turned into?
A Lady Boy.
Yeah, yes. Taiwanese Lady Boy.
Taiwan and Thailand are two different.
Whatever. My point is, I bought some spiky fruit yesterday to try something different, and it was disgusting.
And fruit with spikes is God's way of telling you don't eat that.
It's a dog toy. That's what it is. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh dear God, I don't know who this matters to, but I think I'm required by law to do certain number of Kardashian stories. Just Khloe's not a Kardashian.
What?
Ah! How am I supposed to go on with my day? I had a horrible spiky fruit, and now I learned that Khloe's not a Kardashian.
She is a little more Zaftig than the others.
I didn't know how I could go on last week. This just broke. Radar brings us Robert, our Kardashian's ex-wife and widow, have come forward in the Star magazine exclusive, in which they both claim the late Kardashian expressed doubts about the paternity of Khloe. Khloe's not his kid. He told me that after we got married, said Jan Ashley, the woman who married Robert after Kris Jenner. I don't really keep track. I can barely keep track of who it is at the Golden Globes, for God's sake. I don't watch anything anymore except for cable news. I'm like, who's that?
Jessica
Lange. Who's that? What show is that? I have something new to talk to her about next time I run into her hiking.
What did she win for, Stephanie?
Congratulations for winning that thing
for that
something
thing that
after
you did.
Francis
for
that you did.
That I didn't see.
Yeah, it was for American Horror
Story. You just made it worse.
Oh, good. Oh, let me write that down. Okay. Write that on my hand, like Sarah Palin for my hike today.
Congratulations on your Emmy for American Horror Story.
No, that's wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. Meryl Streep, a little potty mouth. I'm told she got bleeped in her acceptance speech. I saw Iron Lady this weekend. She deserved it. She's Meryl Streep, for God's sakes. Need I say any more?
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
Who's she going to play next? Eva Braun?
Oh, not a Thatcher fan, I'm guessing. That was subtle. All right.
She was a bit of a warmonger.
All right. And we wish Heather Locklear well. She was released from... you were saying last week her engagement to Jack Wagner ended recently.
All I need is to get away from her. Never mind. That was his one hit.
Jim!
That was awful. We wish her well.
Yes,
of course we do.
Oh, my God.
All right. That's it for us. Don't forget, Aisha Tyler, Sexy Liberal, joins us tomorrow, along with Charlie Pierce, and also the latest on the recall efforts in Wisconsin. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.